is a good software developer? What do excellent developers do? There are probably as many answers to these questions as developers in the world. So let's ask veterans and newcomers what their story looks like. Let's learn directly from them. Welcome to Developer's Journey. Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Developer's Journey, the podcast shining a light on developers' life from all over the world. My name is Tim Bourguignon, and today I receive Steven Schwenke. Steven, hi, thanks for joining me.
Hi Tim, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure, it's a pleasure. You and I met a very long time ago. We were trying to find out when exactly before starting recording. I think it's 2014, something like this. I will have to look it up online. As a fun fact, I think you're partially responsible for me going into mentoring. Did you know that?
I didn't know. Actually, I didn't know that, and it would be a great honor.
I think it is. when we met, it was at the HAPS campus in Nuremberg, this conference that the company I work for organizes. And you showed up on stage with Jens Schauder, speaking about mentoring. Mm-hmm. Jens was your mentor, or is your mentor, maybe. We'll touch about this in a minute. And you were both on stage speaking about mentoring. And that's the first time I was confronted with this idea of a mentor and having a mentor, having a mentee. And, well, a few years down the line, here I am speaking at conferences about mentoring. I think you're really responsible for that. So, I will say thank you.
Great, great. And, as you mentioned, between those two points in time, actually, we met at the same place in Nuremberg at the HAPS campus. Don't know if you remember, it was after a long day of conference, and we met on the streets outside of the conference because Jens wanted to go to the conference or back to the hotel. I don't remember. And we met you and we talked, and then I met you for the first time.
Oh, you did.
So, yeah, Nuremberg is kind of our natural focus point.
It is. And I think this discussion we had on the street was what led us to organizing a speed dating, a mentoring speed dating at the Javelin conference last year.
Yes, which also was very, very great.
Which was great. But maybe we'll touch about that in a minute. First, we need to hear more about your story, where you come from, and what led you to being on stage in 2014, if it's in 2014, we'll check that later, with Jens speaking about mentoring. What's that journey like?
Yeah, my journey started very, very early, maybe as for a lot of people in IT. It started back when I was young and the first video games came about, and I played very much and organized with some friends small events for gaming. And soon it became clear that I simply had to study computer science. And in my hometown, there wasn't a university, but a few kilometers to the north, there was a great university, and you can study computer science there. So I went there and studied computer science. That was in Magdeburg in Sachsen-Anhalt in Germany. And the main reason I went there was to learn programming. Was back in the gaming days, we soon began to build own levels and begin scripting the games. And then it was a natural next step to begin programming and maybe developing own games. So I wanted to learn how to program. And then I went to the university. And to be perfectly honest, I didn't think much about it. I just started there without much research. And in my first lecture, it was introducing lecture for all the students. And the dean at that time told us what the study will be all about. And I'm not lying here. On the second slide, he made the statement that studying computer science is not programming, that it is absolutely different. And I sat there and thought to myself, well, I have exactly two options here. Option number one is I get up right now and I leave and I search a place where I can find someone who show me how to program, or I stay and yeah, just what I can learn here. So luckily I decided for option number two and I stayed there. And in fact, I did not learn how to program, at least not how to program, kind of good. But I learned a lot of other things. And the main thing I took away from the university was how to organize things and mainly how to organize myself, which is a very, very important thing. And also I learned to know a lot of great people who really laid some stepping stones in front of me, which I used to develop myself and to develop my career later on. And actually, in the first semester, I met my very first real mentor because there was an organization who organized mentoring for young students. And my mentor was a mentor for a group of students. I think we were 15 or 20. And he saw that I was very, very interested in doing stuff and very proactive. And he asked me if I wanted to start organizing this mentoring concept. And I said yes and was very happy to do so. And that was one big stepping stone into a lot of organizations where I worked in my study. And this was really one huge stepping stone. And that was my introduction to mentoring on an institutional level. And I became mentor for other young students. Yeah, and then all things come to an end. So I finished my study and I began working in a huge company in the north of Brunswick in Germany. And I thought if I should begin my career at that huge company. And I decided against that and went to another very, very small company. And I learned to know Jens there. And I saw Jens these days as someone who was very proactive in the community. He was writing articles and he had a blog and he knew stuff. And I thought, well, maybe he can help me the way my first mentor back in the university helped me. So I kind of stalked Jens. I followed him on Twitter. Well, that's not very much stalking. But I began Twittering something he was interested in. And soon he was reading my tweets and asked me, hey, what is that mentoring thing you are talking about? Well, actually, he knew mentoring, of course. But I think we met somewhere in the middle and we had a coffee and he asked me what I wanted to do there where we are working. And then some kind of mentoring developed. At first, we were the only one in this mentoring thing. And then the group developed. And now this group actually exists. And we are having regular meetings in this group. And that is how we became a mentoring group.
Mm-hmm. If I can just interrupt you there, this is a concept I haven't seen anywhere else built this way. So if I understood it correctly, this is a group that was constructed organically with adding people one after the other, where there is not necessarily one mentor, where you're all mentoring each other. Is it right?
Both of those options kind of apply. Okay. At first, it was clear that Jens is my mentor. And I think this relationship never really changed fundamentally. So I talked with Jens actually when was it, yesterday or the day before, and asked him stuff. And he really helped me out in something there. And because of the fact that has way more experience than me, this is kind of natural that I'm asking him stuff and he is telling me stuff. And for the rest of the group, it's the case that we somehow help each other. So there is not that hierarchy that one is the one go-to guy and he knows all the answers and tells everything to the others. That is sometimes the case, but yeah, as you said, it's somehow organically.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do with each other? What do you do in those in the meetings you have? Do you have some meetings? You meet for the bars? What do you do together?
Yeah, this mentoring group exists for a couple of years, and I think we experimented a lot in this group. So we began meeting at Jens's favorite coffee store in Braunschweig, and then we moved on to what was the second location. When we had a third member in the group, we met at his house, actually, in the basement, and there we had some programming sessions. We experienced pair programming. We made code cutters. We discussed architectural questions, and then we went back to some restaurants later on in the group because the group had some more members, and the time the group was had the most members, I think we were 6 or 7 members actually, and that kind of is an interesting experience and an interesting development, because the dynamics of the group changed very much. So for example, we had more than one talk during those meetings, and where we had at first just one topic and one person was speaking, the others were listening, and then it was one topic that was discussed at any point in time. And when the group grew larger, that wasn't the case anymore. So we had to adjust and had to think about what we really want to achieve there. Mm-hmm. Interesting topic.
how did it turn out to be? Is it still going this way?
Well, it's kind of dynamic at the moment. So we did not find, in my opinion, the perfect solution, which always applies because of the different development of the members. At every meeting, someone wants to talk about special things or about a current problem or about options he or she has to face. And then we focus on this person. And in other meetings, we only have some technological discussions, or we show each other books and talk about books. And this is something we have to decide from meeting to meeting, which makes this very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool.
So there's not just one concept, but we are, picking every meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting. Maybe if we can step back a couple steps. You seem to be always gravitating toward having a mentor, or at least people around you. Do you know why?
Oh, yes, very much so. I'm searching. I'm always searching for people who, it goes both ways. I'm always searching for people that I can help myself, that I can do something that they're developing in a faster way or in a better way. And also I'm searching for people who can do nice things for me. And sometimes it's the same person, and other times it's not. And I'm searching very proactively for people who can help me and who I can help myself.
Mm-hmm. Have you had
to... And just to give you an example, let me think of an example without going too much into detail there. I met a colleague, and that colleague was, because in my firm I'm working for MSG David in Brunswick, and in Brunswick we have around 200-300 employees, and that is a number where you cannot remember every face and every name, and that's another point I have very much problems with. But this one guy, he always showed up in events, and he was just a nice guy, and he was always greeting when we saw each other in the halls, and was simply a nice guy. And because I really received good vibrations from him, I began researching who he was and asked other people, hey, who's this guy always around and always nice to other people, always helping out? And so they told me that he was one of the young employees, and I told him, I thought, hey, well, maybe I can help him. And he was, well, he is not, kind of at the beginning of his IT career, and I thought maybe I can help him. So I just asked him if he would like to have a coffee with me. So we met and had a coffee and just talked about everything else but IT. And I asked if he wanted to have another coffee. And soon we had a weekly coffee meeting, half an hour. And of course, we talked about IT stuff and how he could develop himself in IT matters. And I really invested not that much. So I just told him how I see things and how the world works for me. And that's another point that which is very important for me. I don't know answers. I just have my own experience. So I can only tell how things worked out for me. And yeah, it became a really nice relationship between him and me. And we have those regular meetings. I would not say that this is a mentoring, and it does not have to be, but it's just regular meetings. And maybe he's learning something. I think that's the case. And I'm learning something from him too, because he has the view on the IT, the view of someone who is fresh and sees things for the first time, and also does have other experiences, for example, with customers and with organizations. He before he joined our company, he had very much experience with organizing events, and this is always an interesting topic to talk about with him. And also, he's a musician, and that's something that totally I cannot make music, sadly, and I'm always talking about this with him.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's cool. You said something interesting. You said a lot of interesting things, but two things I picked up. The last thing I picked up was you're not sure if it's mentoring. You said it's a very nice relationship, but you're not sure if it's mentoring. What would be different if it were mentoring in your mind?
A good question. I don't have an exact answer. Maybe many people think that mentoring is some kind of organized thing, so that you have someone who says, yes, I am your mentor, and that is some kind of huge thing, and we have to get some kind of contract or agreement that this is you are my mentor and you are my mentee or something that, like that. But that is not the case. That is exactly two times the case in my experience for me personally. And I had around, I think, 5 or 6 mentors in my life. And actually now I'm having multiple mentors for different areas of my life, which is a great thing. And maybe I answered this because this is some kind of relationship of self-improvement mm-hmm. on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It makes sense. Makes sense. The other thing I had to smile about is when you said we just had coffee and we started talking. I recently wrote an article for the Kaffee Klatsch magazine, making the parallel between dating and mentoring, and that was the answer to a question I get very often after some talks, which is always, well, how do I break the ice? How do I start asking someone for being my mentor, and my answer is always the same, is you don't. You start by getting coffee or asking questions and starting to get the ball rolling and see if that leads somewhere. And I find your example very, very well illustrated with just getting coffee and saying, well, this wasn't so bad. Let's have another one in a week and then see where that goes. And you haven't talked about mentoring with him yet, or maybe you did, but you haven't flagged your relationship as a mentoring relationship yet, and maybe you will never. But that's an interesting way of to put it. Yeah, and maybe to close this mentoring subject, we organized together at the Javelin conference last year a mentoring a speed dating, which was again getting people to speak with one another, and this at a very high pace. We were not really sure how would that turn out to work out, but I think it did great. The feedback was great.
Yes, it was, and especially it was at the very, very end of a very long conference day. So I, for my part, was very exhausted, and it's one of those great things in taking part in community events. I am very exhausted at the end of those days and don't have much energy, but somehow those events tend to energize me from minute to minute again, so that I am able to really have a really long day. And I think at this special occasion, the day was was 14 hours long or so. And yes, it was a great event, and everyone, I think, in my as I saw it, everyone had fun, and everyone talked to at least how many rounds were there? Five people, and I think that's a huge success.
Yes, it was. I might submit that this year again with a different different flavor, but we'll see. It's work in progress. I want to switch gears a little bit. When you speak at conferences, you often speak about craftsmanship topics. I'm not sure if craftsmanship is the right word anymore. Of crafters, maybe, to make it gender neutral. Crafters topics. You mentioned previously the things you did with your mentoring group about pair programming, code cutters, etc. You also speak about clean code. You speak about did you speak about mob programming? I'm not sure you did. But you speak about all these topics, which are the tools that we have on our tool belt to do our work every day. Why is it so important to you?
Actually, it isn't.
It's not? Okay.
But I noticed, yeah, it's not. It's kind of when you are getting up in the morning every day and start running because you have to and not because it's so much fun. And it's like that with those topics you mentioned. I noticed that a lot of emphasis is placed upon very technical topics in the IT. And you can find books and you can find magazines and blogs and talks about very, very technical and deep technical stuff. And because I'm learning Angular right now, which is new for me, I noticed that it's very, very easy to just solve technical problems by just Googling it. And if you don't Google it, then you pay a bit of money and go to a workshop, and then you kind of get to know a technical stack within a day or two or three. And that is not the problem. We have solved that. It's all searchable. It's researchable, and it's linkable. You can kind of download technical information into your brain if you learned how to learn. And that is the best thing to take away from studying. But I noticed that the so-called soft skills, or as a professor of mine called it, the key skills, that is something that is often missing. But it's, in my opinion, the thing that really makes you successful in life and also in the projects with customers. So to give you an example, I think that some projects of mine have been successful, so projects in the sense with customers, have been successful not only because I and my teammates have used technology to solve a problem, but the most important thing was to talk to the customer and to understand his problem, to understand his priorities, and then to pick the technical tools and solve the problem. And sometimes it's more important for a customer simply to be understood and simply to tell his problem and to have a simple prototype that solves 80% of his problems, and the 20% that this prototype is not solving would be the 80% of the costs. And so technical skill is not helping you in this situation. But what is helping you is to really make communication. Communication is my most favorite word of all times. And that is the real key skill in my opinion and in my experience of life. If you somehow manage to communicate, then you are halfway winning. And this is the reason, to come back to your question, this is the reason why I noticed a very, very lot of topics which kind of are not known or are underrepresented in the literature and in blogs and in conferences. So, for example, coding cutters. Coding cutters is something you cannot sell to any software craftsman who is in the project for customers, because the management, quote, management is okay, and no pun against management here, but of course, quote, management want to earn money, and that is the goal of every company. And you seem to not earn money when you're doing a code cutter. So when you're solving an academic problem over and over again without selling something to any customer, so you're not making money, and so you're losing money, actually losing money, because of the people you have to pay them. And this seems counterintuitive, but when you understand what this code cutter does with people, that maybe after a day of a code retreat, global day of code retreat, for example, in a few weeks, it's coming around, and it's there every year, and it's a great idea to go to a global day of code retreat every year and to practice the craft, as you said. Mm-hmm. And this one day I noticed very often, because I'm organizing code retreats myself, internally and externally in the company, and very often it's the small things. So a software developer says, hey, I learned a new shortcut here in my IDE I didn't know before, or I learned a totally new IDE, and that will make him more productive for years to come. But he would not have learned that without this event, and this is hard to really understand. And last sentence here to that topic, of course, it's possible that you have the complete opposite, so that you visit a code retreat and absolutely learn nothing, because the people you pair with, they are beginners and juniors, and maybe you teach them a lot, but you yourself don't learn anything. But what you always will learn is communication, because you always communicate with those people. And if the single little bit of skill you take away from this event is how to communicate something to a young developer, then you are a winner. You go out there as a winner, because you are a better software craftsman, even for your company, because your company can set you in a team of junior developers, and you will teach your knowledge in a better way, and that is great.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. I've heard the term catalyst skills instead of soft skills. Mm-hmm. I find the definition interesting. Which are really the skills that allow other skills to flourish.
That's great. I have to note that.
Yeah. Great. I was interested as well. I've been searching for a replacement for soft skills for a while, but I think I'm not the only one. And I heard this on a podcast the other day. I think it was interesting. I'll have to ponder that further. Okay, so maybe you understood, you answered the first of the next question I wanted to ask you, which would be, what is a good developer nowadays? I think it would have to do with communication, but is there more than this?
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. Communication is very, very important. However, not a nicer way to say this, but you have to want to do what you are doing. So even if I'm a pro in communication and I'm entering IT because of the wrong reasons, maybe I heard that you can get a lot of money there, and or maybe I'm already in IT and I'm a developer and I'm happy to be a developer, and then something goes wrong, in quotes, and someone says, hey, you are making tons of money when you are entering project management, and hey, you have been a developer for 10 years now. How about making some project management? And then leaving the development zone and entering the management zone can also make you very, very unhappy. Not necessarily. Some people do that and they are happy with it and everything is all right. But I think focus is very important. So you have to, or at least my, other people, but what really works great for me is that I'm aware of what I want and what it costs, because everything which is worth something does come with a cost. So, for example, I am a developer because I love developing. I love going to communities, to community events, and I love to engage in learning new technology. But the cost is maybe to some when, or maybe in a few years, I'm kind of stuck in my career because I'm just a developer, and maybe I will not earn more money or will not be that highly regarded for what I am doing. Maybe I don't know, but it's important to have an idea about what the decisions in life will cost you down the road.
Then I will give you a teaser for the one of the interviews that is coming in the next weeks for Dev Journey. Mm-hmm. One of the guests who said, "It's time to take a chance." I said that was his answer to my last question, which is what advice would you give the listeners? And he said, "Well, take a chance. If you cannot do it as a developer right now in the industry we have and the context we have." Then we'll never do it. So take a chance. And maybe, you know, the book, The New Kingmakers. Have you read that one?
No, actually not.
It's a short book about, the role software developers are playing in the industry right now. Or not in the industry, mm-hmm. in the society. And we are really at a very, very special place. So yeah, we're stuck as a developer, but, kind of very, very, very special and important place. So, not that bad a place.
It's kind of the, yeah, indeed. I guess it's kind of this software is eating the world meme, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
If you had to hire someone, what would you be looking for in this person?
Mm-hmm. I think I would, well, it depends on in which position I would hire him or her. If it's a junior developer, then I would simply have a coffee and ask those questions we were talking about. So why do you want to be in the IT? Why do you want to work here? What is it that drives you, that really motivates you? And of course, there has to be some fundamental knowledge of IT topics. So if someone's applying to be a developer, then I expect him to know at least one programming language and at least a handful of frameworks and toolkits. That's clear. But which is really important for me is the motivation. So what is it? And a nice situation would be in such a talk is when he or she really gets a glow in their eyes and telling something which really interests them. So let's be it games. Yeah, I'm gaming a lot, and games brought me together with my friends or formed peer groups for me or stuff like that. And I want to be a game developer. And to be a game developer, I have to know how the industry works, or I have to understand how making software works. And that is the reason why I'm here. And that is something I can totally relate to, in the meaning that I can make personal development with this person. So on the other hand, if someone is sitting on the other side of the table and I'm asking, why are you here? And this person answers, well, I'm here because, I don't know, there's free Coca-Cola here every day or so. Then this is not the motivation I'm searching for. That does not mean that I will not hire this person, but it's different.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah, it's the autonomy mastery purpose. So it's the purpose part of the motivation framework. That's all.
Right.
That's what I'm looking. But it's really hard to screen for that. You really have to listen to your guts, and this is something that's kind of bites you in the ass at some point. But
no. Oh yes, it can, and it's kind of easy to solve by going to events, by going to Java user group events, or in general community events and conferences, because someone who is willing to wake up early in the morning, or first to travel to another city, to maybe invest some of his holiday days to travel to another city, maybe to even pay money, real money, and stay up early in the morning and wake up early in the morning and have a day full of talks and full of coffee drinking and full of excitement. And in the evening is able to have some really, really heated discussions about some technological special feature or about a process thing in the IT, then this is the person I want to hire.
Mm-hmm. But then I have to be the devil's advocate and ask the question that's painful, and I'm struggling with this question as well. How likely are you to create a monoculture with this, and how do you make sure that you also get the single parent that is not able to travel to those conferences and that could still be a very good developer but doesn't have time to train outside of the job and do stuff like that?
Yes. Most likely I would not. Not at least with this tool in getting to conferences. You are absolutely right. That is why I'm not hiring people.
Well, it's probably on your journey somewhere. I did this mistake once, and that's why I'm so interested in it. I hired a lot of people for one client, and I realized down the line that I was following this pattern, and we created a very interesting monoculture. That was there was a very nice atmosphere and everything was working quite fine, but it is not the place I would have chosen to be if I had been awake while doing this, if I had known this bias beforehand. So it's, if I had to do it again, I would probably do it differently, and this is something but I don't know how. That's the problem. But no. I'm growing as well.
At least, yes, that's the right, that's the most important thing. You have that insight. So all this investment of making not so great decisions is a good investment, because you learn from it, and then you can tell others that can learn from it, and the world's getting better. So I'm a very optimistic person.
Let's keep it this way. So as an optimistic person, what advice would you give the listeners, if you had one advice that you could give to advance you in their journey, which would it be?
Actually, I thought about that, and I really don't have one advice, because every person is so different, and every situation is different, every company is different, and even if you are in another region of this earth, then there the situation is different. So it really, really depends. But being knowing that you are different and knowing that you can bring your special combination of skills and maybe anti-skills to the table. That is really what makes every person strong in a given situation. So it's not one skill that is the key skill, the killer feature to know, and then you will be successful everywhere. But I think it's a combination of everything you can do or can't do and everything you want and don't want that really makes you special. And this combined with a great deal of self-control and willpower and a lot of self-management, that is maybe that is one of the important things. Get yourself under control. And this is very much than just one thing which you asked for. So, yeah, there are several things, and you have to be aware of your situation and of your personality. Mm-hmm. And start from there.
Okay, so let's start with introspecting then.
Yes.
And I guess we're going to leave the listeners with this. We reached the end of our time box. We are all well over it, actually. Steven, what's on your plate in the next weeks and months? Do you have things that you want to advertise?
Well, I could advertise my own events, but that would maybe lead to much, much more visitors for that events. And those events are very, very, there are not so many people there, and that is what drives those events. But anyhow, I'm organizing an event, a series of events, which is called Hack Talk. And this is a monthly event, which takes place in Brunswick and in Wolfsburg in Germany. And who wants can meet me there. And I am also doing a lot of talks in the future, in the near future. And what this especially is, you can find out at my website, which is stevenschwenke.de/events, or you can click through. And that is all. Yes.
Okay. So we'll push the listeners over there. So this is also one way to reach you, I guess, over stevenschwenke.de. Are you active on Twitter? Can we find you on Twitter as well?
Oh, yes. My Twitter handle is, it's Steven Schwenke. Okay. Not that exciting, but easy to find.
Okay. And I'll add it to the show notes so that the listeners Thanks. Can just click on it and go to it. Well, great. A lot of great insights. Thank you very much. There's a lot of ponder in there.
Tim, thanks for having me again. It was a great pleasure for me also, and it was very nice talking to you, and I'm looking forward to see you at one of those awesome conferences.
Oh, we will do, we will do. Well then, see you very soon.
See you, Tim. Ciao.
Listener, if you haven't subscribed yet, you can find this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Music, and much more. And if you like what we do, please help your fellow developers discover the podcast by rating it and writing a comment on those platforms. Thanks again, and see you in 2 weeks.